Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Shot it 22 times, but I hit four niggas. Figure fours, Figueroa's on my neck. Figueroa with pistola, pistol in it.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
I can't even hear you. Why do you sound like
sorry,
that?
Sorry, because you playing that song made me realize I didn't do the thing you want me to do yet. I'm sorry.
Listen, let me tell you guys something about,
welcome to
Juan Ep is Dead. Today we will have the Cellar Dwellers and Nick Wiz on the show.
I was excited until you played that. Fuck.
So here's the thing. So here's what I want to say. If you are a true school underground hip hop head, and you want to hear the stories of the Cellar Dwellers, yeah, hang out. Because yeah, in a little while, we're going to bring on the Cellar Dwellers and Nick Wiz.
And I don't want to... Hold on, real quick. If you love that 93 to 96 era of New York underground backpack hip-hop, like, even if you don't know the Cellar Dwellers too much, you're going to want to hear this because the stories, I'm sure, are going to be amazing of people that was in the zeitgeist at the time and people who are around that loud record scene. So
who is the Cellar Dwellers? And who are the Cellar Dwellers? Hear a couple.
Who are they?
From the land of the Lord, from the land of the Lord, from the land of the Lord, from the land.
In the lost land, I break many limbs like twigs.
Or this one.
Yeah, Cellar Dwellers in the house for 99, four, boy.
It's like that, that's how we come, huh?
Hey, yo, it's like that. Hey, yo, it's like that. We got a ham, not it, or, get the mic back.
Or this one? This one's so good. The fact they have a song about Monopoly is insane. It's insane.
Hey, yo, get nice, shoot dice, skip the small talk, sign advance to walk, collect the properties and profit.
Collect the properties and profit. They're telling you the rules.
Let's get deep into the text. Take a couple years back, how we used to flex. Always into gear.
What about this one, Simon? College radio. Yo, we used to bring this song back. It would take 2 hours for the song to start. Just the juggle of these drums.
Stay taking flicks with chicks.
So we'll get to that. But Saif, you feel bad about yourself because all you ever want is to do things. You want to do cool things. You want to be a part of things that are awesome.
Yes.
And I reach out to Saif to ask him to do something for my album on a West Side Gun song.
I'm going
to
do it.
And it's been 2 weeks. I here's the question. No, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reach out to Hannibal.
No.
And I'm going to see who turns it in first. Because you've had a 2-week jump. So if Hannibal, who's far more successful and famous than you. If he gets it done before you get it done, then it's his. You're a fucking disgrace.
I'm happy to be back on the road. So I've been.
I know it's a lot. But for the record,
I'll be home this week.
For the record, that record "Stain" by Westside Gunn is coming out Friday, everywhere.
Friday, April
9th.
Oof. Oh my God.
April 9th. WrestleMania Friday, as it's known, Sife.
Oh my God, my mom's birthday is this week.
You got a lot to deal with. You have a lot to deal with. What do you have to do for your mom's birthday?
Something.
Probably something. Probably
my
something.
My mom's birthday is 2 days away.
There's a lot going on in the world, Sife, that I need to talk to you about. Okay. Very important stuff.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide where to begin.
Okay.
Number one, I rented a movie theater for my friend's birthday because you can do that cheaply right now.
Yeah.
On AMC, it's like a few hundred bucks and you can get a whole theater. So we did it for Godzilla versus King Kong.
Okay.
That was the worst shit. I don't often use the term worst movie ever made.
Why did you go see that?
Because it was a movie that I thought would be good for a return to a theater.
Why?
Like a theater. Like I want a big, let's see something big.
I don't know why you would think that movie would be good. Are those movies ever good?
It was the, yo, Sife, you know how much money they spent on cast in that movie? And you could have used cardboard cutouts. It would, they used my guy from Friday Night Lights.
Who?
The dad who I love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that
What's
guy.
His name again, Billy June? Billy June, get me that guy's name. The main guy.
Bloodline, right? Isn't it Bloodline?
Bloodline. Did you ever watch Bloodline? You watched it?
No, I saw the first episode, but I didn't get to finish it.
So fucking great. So Bloodline, Friday Night Lights guy. He's a big star. They got the rapper, Paperboy from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
He's in it. They got Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. Kyle Chandler is the dad from Friday Night Lights. They got Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. They got, what's his face, Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood. They got all these big-ass actors for the dumbest. And then afterwards, my friends were like, well, I didn't think it was that bad, you know, if you'd seen the first three. I was like, there were three before this?
What?
There was no, it didn't even, nothing even, I don't know. It nothing even approximated a story. It was fucking terrible.
I wouldn't even go to see that, but anyway.
Also, I need to report, and this is important that the audience knows, that I found a slight, this is the second time this has happened, and maybe one of the listeners already heard about it the first time. And why I would share this with a podcast audience, I don't know, but they're our friends. Sife, I have, for the second time in my life, a discoloration on my penis.
This is interesting. Which part of the penis?
Well, Dr. Sounds, it's on the shaftal region.
How big is this discoloration?
It's like the size. It's not a I'm small sorry. Discoloration.
I should not be laughing at this.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
What
this
color,
is serious.
What color is it?
It's a it's a discoloration. So it's light. It's lighter than the rest of
like,
the crumb.
Is it like this? Like my vitiligo?
That's
where come in.
That so you have vitiligo too?
I think so.
Sife, it turns out I have what is technically known as Michael Jackson penis.
You have.
And I forgot that I'd already been diagnosed with this the first time. Yo, that's how old I am. When I went in, the doctor looked at it and he was like, yeah, this is vitiligo. And I was like, oh, I already got, this already happened once. I forgot I had this. And he's like, yeah, it comes back. It can, you don't really know what's going to happen with it. And he checked it out. It's embarrassing, by the way.
You had to go show your pee-pee at the doctor's office.
Number one, you're showing your penis to a doctor. I don't know like that. I've seen him once before. Number two, there was a girl like like an intern or whatever. She's in there too.
I hate when they're in there. And then, you know, if they have any type of like younger hip hop vibe to them, I say, can we have another nurse in here, please? Because I need an old lady who doesn't know who I am.
There's no chance they know who I am. Now, how about this though? He looks at it once, and I'm making like every dumb joke about that one could make because it's awkward. The whole thing's awkward to me. And then he's like, can you go get the blah, blah, blah? And she comes back with a black light. And he uses a black light to look at my chrom.
Wow.
And it turns out it is vitiligo, which is what Michael Jackson said he had, which is why he started, you know, changing his skin tone. And I asked the doctor, I said, do you think this is punishment? Because I still listen to Michael Jackson after the documentary.
I had a, this is why are we talking about this? I had a pain in my sack, you might say.
Sack pain.
Sack pain.
All right, Billy June, name this episode Michael Jackson penis and sack pain. That could be our new rap group. Yo, it's Sack Pain and Michael Jackson penis. And we coming at you in 2019. What year is it? 21, bitch. You're Sack Pain and I'm Michael Jackson.
I had to go to the doctor and he had to refer me to not a specialist, but this woman comes in on Tuesdays and Thursdays to do like the ultrasound of certain stuff, things like that.
Of sex.
And this Russian
girl. She's the queen of sex.
This Russian girl came in and she was so cute. And
no.
I was like, why can't it be an old Olga lady? And then, so luckily, I didn't have to show the actual joint. I just had to show the sack.
Oh, she just lifted.
So I basically,
it was like white boys pranking each other. Like, you white boy pranked her. You just pulled your nuts out of your pants.
I had to essentially wrap my penis in what would be something similar to like a cummerbund for a tuxedo and then just have the sack showing.
Oh, my God. It turned out to be okay, I'm guessing.
It was nothing. And the pain went away a week later. I was like, God damn it. I could have waited a week and not have to expose myself to this.
No, listen. I'm telling you right now, I thought about this long and hard, no pun intended. I was like, if the doctor is a somewhat attractive woman, I'm either going to say I need to see someone else or just say I'm going to get a boner here. Because do you know what this man did? This man gets down on his knees.
Oh, God.
He was wearing gloves, which helps a little bit, because I think the skin on skin, who knows what would happen.
Oh, God,
I don't know. He puts on gloves, but he gets on his knees, and you take your joint out like you're getting your dick sucked behind a dumpster.
Stop.
So you take your dick out, and then with gloves on, they start, you know, touching it with his fingers. He's squeezing. I'm like, yo, if you're a hot chick on your knees touching my joint, but maybe the gloves help. The gloves,
the bright fluorescent light, the people right walking by.
Yes, it all helps. I guess the good news is I did not have an explosive erection while he was doing it. But the bad news is I have been punished for the fact that I still choose to listen to Michael Jackson.
What if the doctor was like, in order to do this exam, it needs to be erect.
So I'll start saying something. Let me think of things that turn you on. So what turns you on? What are your search terms on porn websites? Just give me an idea, and we want to get this thing nice and hard.
Redhead pale? That's mine. Redhead pale.
Saif, but you say that as a joke, but we know you're serious.
I'm not joking.
Redhead pale?
Yeah. You know what I don't like? Pog. I hate that term.
Yo, there are some porn terms.
Pog is so whack.
Yo, that's so... The idea that you take something as beautiful as a fat-ass white girl and turn it into the word pog? Who did that?
Because
you fucking heathens.
Because then it's like,
why would you do
you're
that?
You're putting the pH version of fat. But you don't really say it like that.
And by the way, you don't even need the pH. Yeah, first of all, you don't say that. The people who came up with that don't say fat like that. And second of all, with the word as ugly as pog, you might as well just use the F and call it a fog.
It's the same thing.
Because pog's no better than fog.
But when I search redhead pale, a lot of pogs come up.
Yo, pog is a terrible term.
All right. There's something serious going on in the world. What's happening with DMX?
Okay. By the way, how is that what we open with? Who? This is why no one likes us. This is why the show is a failure. People come here for and real quick, I just want to say we love all of you. Thank you for subscribing. Oh no. Billy Jean, are you hearing this?
What is going on?
Oh no, guys. Oh no. Oh no, Billy June. Billy June, what happened to Syfe?
I don't know.
What was that? Syfe, are you there?
Hey, what happened? Am I here?
Syfe, you all right?
Am I back?
That was not good.
What was I saying?
You were saying, no, back. Real quick, shout out to everyone. So I'd like to announce two things. One, to everyone who's involved in Patreon for the highest tier, we are going to drop something special for you this week.
Yes,
just
yes.
for the highest tier Patreon.
Just a second to get it together.
Yes, but so everyone who's on board on the Patreon, you're going to get something dope and special this week. And also, Billy June, would you like to announce the Discord thing, whatever this is?
Yeah, for all patrons, no matter what tier they are. Rosenberg, you don't know what Discord is?
No.
It's like a message board, but it's like private. And we're going to do it for Patreon, and we're going to have different categories. And you guys
what
can
do you
hop
mean private?
In. Like,
what
it's
do you mean
only
private?
For
like,
Patreon.
Like a Jeffrey Epstein kind of private? Like, what do you mean?
No, it's like a message board just for Juan Ep is Dead Patreon members where we can all chat with each other about different topics.
Okay, so they can. And where do they sign up for Discord? If you're not
I'm
going to
send them a message with all the info when it comes out.
Okay,
and
great.
We'll drop it the day of the episode comes out this week, which is
cool.
Right now.
Wait.
So as they're hearing it,
only our patrons will get that?
Yeah, that's because it's exclusive.
So there's going to be six people on this message
it's
board?
It's not six, Syfe. It's like 100.
121.
121. Okay. So 121 people will all be on a message board together on Discord.
I love that.
We'll do some
that's
music.
That's actually dope.
We'll do some sports. We'll do all different stuff.
Can we do it? Can you do a... I insist there is one topic, Syfe, called SAC... Sack Payne and Michael Jackson penis. Is it Sack Payne?
Sack Payne, baby.
Sack Payne and Michael Jackson penis, our new rap group. So, all right, so sign up for Patreon. And so not only are you getting the Discord, which launched today, but we're also going to drop something, a special episode this week as well. So shout out to all our patrons.
I think it should just be MJPP.
MJPP? I'm offended by that. Now you went too far.
That's just people complaining about their health issues.
So, yeah, you can ask us questions and we'll tell you what we think. So now I guess we should get to the serious news of the week. Yeah. And as you're hearing this on Tuesday, we're recording Sunday. As of this Easter Sunday, which, by the way, man, that sounds like, yo, DMX, if he could wake up today, like isn't today when Christ came back?
That is correct. Thank you.
I would love that to happen, Syfe, but yesterday we found out that he OD'd and he had a heart attack, and supposedly it's really not good.
That's not good.
It's really hard to know what to say here. I'm so annoyed by the desperation for everyone to turn it into a social media topic when someone has something bad happen. I know
Why are we talking about it like that?
Like, it's just, I get
why,
it.
Why, how do, I, no disrespect, man, but the rush to get your picture, to find your picture with DMX and post it.
Everyone has to get there. I need to get my prayer post up first. And I've done it before. I'm not saying I haven't done it, by the way. I need to get my, I'm praying for DMX. Let me tell you why I love DMX. Yo, I get it. But like, if you really are someone who's about prayer, are you really posting it immediately on Twitter? Or are you stopping what you're doing to pray? Like, if that's what you do, okay, good. But like the, I don't know, man. It just feels cheap. I'm not saying you mean it that way. I'm not saying everyone means it that way. They probably mean it in a good way. But it collectively feels gross to me.
I don't, like, does everyone just have their pictures on their phone? And they find, you know what I mean? Like, are you going to a hard drive to find, are you doing work to find this picture?
I know. There's something weird about it. And I hate this story.
I mean, I do it too, instinctually. Like the other day, I wanted to find my picture of Nipsey, But I had just posted a picture of Nipsey like a week and a half ago because Cardinal posted a picture of me, him, and Nipsey at the Summer Jam parking lot. That I only thought I ever had one picture of Nipsey, which was at Hot 97 with you. And then he posted his picture with Nip, and I was like, oh shit, I forgot about this. And I posted it. It's not like I was like, wait a minute, when did he die? Because I should hold this.
But that's what, you know what I mean? That's definitely happening. And I just want to say, I'll just say this about DMX. He is obviously important and beloved and celebrated. You know, he's been celebrated a lot while he's been alive. Like, everyone loves DMX. I don't think he's someone who's underappreciated.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy about. But I just don't have a lot to say about this because it's so sad. And, you know, come on. We all knew at some point there was going to be some sort of terrible scare like this again. You know, like, I hate to say it, but, like, it's hard for me to say this. That's why it's like, how do you talk about this with, like, someone who you know was clearly, it's been bad. It's been bad. And
that addiction shit, man.
If you don't get better, like, you don't get it. Like, do we not get, if someone who's that sick doesn't get better, this only goes one way. And I'm not blaming any one person for that. DMX is his own man.
There's no way to blame one person. You can't even blame the person.
That's the thing.
It's not something you could just wake up from and be like, you know what? I'm gonna stop doing this. Like, that shit has a hold on people, man.
Yeah, like, and it's had him for a very long time. Yeah. And deep. You know, there's levels to this addiction-ish. And the level to which DMX has always had it,
Just on a human level, man, I hope he's okay, and I hope his family's okay, but...
Me too, and at this moment, it doesn't look great. There was news yesterday that he was off of the machines and he was breathing on his own. Then they came out and said, no, that's actually not true. So, like...
I saw a report that he died, and then they took that report back. They're like, oh, no, we made a mistake, but who knows?
So, as we do this, on TMZ, it says, prognosis not looking good. Sounds like he doesn't have a lot of brain activity and just sounds terrible. There's not a lot to say about it except that we hope and pray he gets better. And he's an absolute icon for a gazillion reasons. And we're not going to do some sort of DMX episode this week. We're just going to hope that and pray that DMX gets better.
And on that note,
you want to dive into this? You want to bring on the Dwellas? All right, let's bring on the Cellar Dwellers. We got UG, Phantasm, Nick Wiz. Are they in the room?
Oh,
Billy
Nick Wiz
June?
Is here?
Nick Wiz too, son.
Nick Wiz is here.
Yep. Billy June, they here?
Yep, they're coming in.
Thank you, Billy June.
Oh.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
From the land. It's the Lord's plan. I like lanterns.
This is the weird mix with the different lyrics on it. I'll ask about that. I didn't even realize that this past week it was 25 years since one of my favorite albums to mention. I feel like I've been holding the flag for this group, Cy, for as long as I've been on the radio.
I haven't
talked to them in like two decades, and that would be the Cellar Dwellers and Nick Wiz on One App. Hey!
What up? That was good.
This is crazy. I'm having WBAU flashbacks. WBAU Adelphi University flashbacks with Wildman Steve and DJ Riz.
Word.
We got UG, UG, Phantasm, and Nick Wiz all here. What's up, guys? Phantasm, how are you?
What's the deal? What's good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we hear everybody now. I think Okay. Everyone sounded good. Nick, let's hear you. We hear you?
Can you hear me?
We hear Nick Wiz as well.
All right, we're in.
Okay, so then you guys tell us this. Who is the best of the three of you? Who should be the first person to set off the Cellar Dweller story? Mm-hmm.
You got to flip a coin for that.
Nah, man. UG, launch it off, man.
All right, UG, you said it.
Oh man, how can I get this? First of all, let me say salute to y'all, man. Y'all always been solid, rock solid with us. Showed us super duper love, never fronted on us, even when it was time to be critical. Y'all always was critical and just gave it 100%. And especially Syfe, know what I'm saying? It's dope to see y'all, man. It's dope to speak to y'all. You know what I mean? Dope. Rosenberg, salute to you.
Yeah.
This album is incredible, man. Like,
it's funny how, like, you guys were like some of my first rap friends. You know what I mean? Like, when I was just an intern, you know what I mean? Just making it, just trying to get up. And then through the loud records connection is with Funk Flex and you guys, like, but then it's like, you know, you just keep working and you don't realize that you haven't seen somebody in years until you see them again. You know what I mean?
Facts.
But like, we used to be in the tunnel together.
Crazy.
Well, that's what we'll get there. So,
all right, I'm sorry, speeding. I apologize.
Yeah, stop speeding, bruh.
I apologize.
All right, UG, tell us. So, how does the Cellar Dwellers thing begin?
We met through a mutual rapper by the name of Gage. I used to dance for him, and at the same time, I was rapping in the background, just writing stuff on the side. And Fam was in Flatbush on Church Ave. Fam was on his thing as far as artists, and we had a show one night, and we got into like a limousine going home, and everybody just started rhyming. You know what I mean? And it was going around.
So hold on real quick. You said you did a show. So y'all were just doing, what shows are these? If this is pre-Cellar Dwellers, y'all are just all rhyming?
Right. We were just doing like random shows. Like a mutual friend of ours, Gage, was just, he was getting, you know, little shows here and there, random shows, and we was just popping up.
Okay.
And so happened, me, Fan and Lord Have Mercy More popped up at the same show together. So this is the show that I'm talking about. And then when a Cypher came around to me, you know what I mean, I started rhyming, and at the end of it, Fan was like, yo, like, to be honest with you, you should be rapping instead of dancing. Because I was full-fledged b-boy, breakdancing, crazy graffiti. I was full-fledged b-boy, you know what I mean? I used to dance with Stretch and all of them. You know what I mean? I used to dance with the Mob Tops, you know what I mean?
Oh, you were the real deal.
Wait, what is that? Was that Ziggy?
These Mob Tops, it was Stretch, Khalif, Link. We all should just be out in Coney Island and just going to different places battling people,
breakdancing.
You know what I mean? So when I talk about hip hop, it's full-fledged. You know what I mean?
All the way through it. Syph, he's someone who, when someone says let the poppers pop and the breakers break, he's actually affected by that statement.
He's facts. Like, why can't we do this?
It touches me. Yeah, it gets me emotional.
Right. He's like, please let me pop and break.
For real. So even with the graffiti, like, you know what I mean? I wrote with Fib and CR Tony, and I wrote with them people. So I was official. And then after that happened, Fan just was like, yo, you should rap, Fan, like, for real. So, you know what I'm saying? I took his advice and just started jotting down, and then, you know what I'm saying? I'm a tag Fan and let him go from there. You know what I mean?
All right, Fan, take the story from there.
Yeah, then we just started working, and I said, I'm gonna take you to a producer that I was working with. I was working with Backspin, who did a lot of joints for a lot of people. He did joints for Leaders of the New School. He did Wild for the Night for Rampage. He was working with MC Light, so I was working with him. I had an album in the can already, and we was trying to shop that. And then me and Ugg got together. I said, I'm going to produce you. He heard Ugg and was like, yo, I want him for myself. I was like, nah, this is my little gem. This is my little gem that I'm working on. So then got his demo together. Back then they were doing 4-song demos as a shopping package. So.
And by the way, Syph, this is something me and Syph talk about a lot, Fan, is that back in the day, just knowing the producer or DJ who could help you put together a demo was like a barrier of entry that meant you had to find someone had to spend some money. Like,
facts.
You had to have at least like a couple microphones, some kind of 4-track sample. That shit used to cost a lot of money back then.
A lot of money. And if you didn't have that, then you had to go to those studios for $60, $70 an hour.
Yeah.
And as little kids, you ain't really had that kind of bread to go try something out. You didn't even know if it was going to work. You trying to put the sound together. So
Right.
It was extremely hard back then.
Shit was crazy.
He had a studio in his crib. So we was fortunate for that. So then even me and UG, we took money out of our own pockets to go to the studio.
Facts. Yeah, we did. We sure did.
We started putting the demo together. We did 3 songs, and then me and him collaborated and said, you know what, let's do a song together. I want you to jump on one with me. So then we did the song together. And when we were shopping the package, everybody kept loving the one song with me and him going back and forth. It was like, yo, the way y'all play off of each other, he got the deeper voice, you got the lower tone. So it's like, yo, just y'all should just run with that. And after a while, we kept hearing it. We was like, you know what? If this is what's gonna get us on,
yeah,
this is what we need.
Yeah, if that's what's working and that's what people are gravitating to, right? Do it.
And where are you? And where are you guys both from exactly?
Well, I was born in Bed-Stuy, but I landed in Canarsie. That's where I was doing. That's where I was resting at that time when I met.
Yeah, that's
Ben.
Why you was. That's why you was really cool with DJ Riz. Rick. He was from that neighborhood.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. My cousin and him used to be on different football teams together. He played for I think like Midwood or some, or Canarsie he played for, and then my cousin played for South Shore, and they used to always that was a rival. So I used to meet Riz. Yeah. Riz was the ladies' man. You know? Riz used to come. Riz used to come to our bleacher parties after the game and steal the shorties from where we at. Because he was a pretty boy. Riz, quarterback, pretty boy.
No disrespect to Nick Wiz. He's the same type of vibe. That cool white boy that shows up and all the girls go to.
Crazy, yo.
And then, fam, where are you from? Like, from Flatbush, right? Canarsie.
Yeah, I'm from East Flatbush. You know what I'm saying? Same stomping grounds as Special Ed, Chub Rock, Boss Our Boss, Split Star, Rampage. It's a whole
Wait,
lot
what
of
school you went? Did you go to Erasmus?
Yes, I did. The infamous Erasmus Hall. Oh my God, that's a treacherous school, man.
So what song was it that you guys made? Was it one that eventually came out, or no? It was just a demo record.
Oh, it was just a demo record, right, Finn? That first Cellar Dwellers that we did.
Yeah, we just did a song called The Cellar Dwellers, and we just played back and forth. But it wasn't Land of the Lost. It was we just did a song with both of us just playing off of each other called The Cellar Dwellers. And everybody kept loving that one song. So we was like, you know,
you did you did eventually put out a song called Cellar Dwellers as a B-side. It wasn't that.
No, we did.
It might have been that. It might have been a different beat on the demo, but I think that was it.
And what year is this? What year is this that we're talking?
Ooh, this is 91-ish, 92-ish.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this is early. This is early, Judge.
Yeah.
Because I actually took the demo to Howie T.
Wow.
I took the demo to Howie T, and he liked it, but he said he wanted to hear more records. He said, I like where y'all going with it, but let me hear more. Let me hear what the entire album is going to sound like.
Well, we need you for the entire album, motherfucker.
You know Howie T back then was on his bullshit. So
he was getting the check. He was working with Raven Simone. He was doing a remix. He was getting about 20K just for that remix alone. So shout out to Howie T.
Okay, so you decide to form a group, and then what?
We started after that. We started doing shows, Lyricist Lounge. You know what I'm saying? But before that, I think we started hitting Stretch and Bobbito first, right, fam?
All of
we started
together.
Doing a lot of underground airplay. So that and the lounge, we just started killing them lounge shows together.
Yeah, right.
Because, so, it, you know, we was coming in. Go ahead, fam, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, because we were doing a lot of shows with just... was we using Backspin's instrumentals, right?
We were using a couple of his instrumentals.
We were using a lot of instrumentals from back,
we were
right?
We using a lot of freestyle stuff, too. And back then, Cypher, you know, where we met you at college radio was popping back then.
Yeah.
So everybody had a college radio station. So even though we couldn't get on the majors, we was on every college radio station.
Yeah.
Everywhere. We went everywhere. No. And every time we freestyled, we just killed it, and the name just started buzzing. And then once we started including the shows along with college radio throughout the tri-state, the name Cellar Dwellers just kept coming up. Yo, them niggas, I heard about this dude called Cellar Dwellers. I seen them perform. I heard them on the radio.
And I feel like you guys had a similar story to how people used to react to Leaders. You know what I'm saying? Like, Leaders of the New School was popping so much before they even had a deal, because they were just popping up at shows, freestyling, and everybody knew them, and everybody would let them like do a little one or two songs, and then that's when they got a deal and got to record. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like
same thing.
It was different. You could do that back then, where like you didn't have a deal, but everyone knew you in the streets, and you could jump on shows and
That was the good old days. That was our forte. It's like, yo, when we get on the radio, we got to air them out. We got to let them know who we are. When we get on that stage, we gotta perform.
Yeah, that was always our motto. Was like, the records is cool, but the stage performance is what is gonna make the fans want to say,
right,
I want to see them again, book them here because this show over here. So we always was very big on performance. know what I mean? As far as shows. And then I remember after that, we did Barbido one more time. I think we got the deal in, and Lord Digger came up to Stretch Armstrong and Barbido with some beats. And he played that Land of the Lost.
Yeah, that was it.
Man, we said, yo, we need that beat for the next lounge. And right after that, it was over. That shit, man, listen.
I've been listening to a lot of old Stretch and Bob lately, just because, you know, you can find it all on YouTube and Mixcloud nowadays. Mm-hmm. Producers used to come up there, plug in the SPs, and just play beats.
And do it live, yeah.
It's crazy.
They don't do it like that.
I heard Lord Finesse and a couple other producers, they'd have like two SPs hooked up to Stretch's DJ mixer playing beats.
Eugene, you remember Lost Pro used to walk with like four machines.
Yo, that's the first time I ever saw that. Ever.
Like a big camping knapsack, and it had like three, four drum machines in it.
And two organs. Like he had two keyboards, two nasty. Yo, Lodge Pro was the first person I ever saw do that in my life, ever. Like the first session we had with him, we'll talk about that down the line, but ever. 17 machines, three organs, trumpet.
So where did Lord Digger get this? Where did Lord Digger get this beat from?
Oh man, him and Norm, shout out, rest in peace, Norm, the Blues Brothers. I think a story I heard, shout out to my man Backus, was my man Backus knew Digger at the time, went and stole that record from a record shop and gave it to him, and that loop was on there. So that's where he, you know what I mean? What was the artist that loop came from? Can you remember?
Jack Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah, my man stole that record for him, and the gem happened to be on there.
So yeah, how did y'all was cool with Lord Digger from just Brooklyn area?
Yeah, one of Menace people introduced us to Digger.
Larry, right?
Larry, yeah, we went down. Larry knew that Digger was an ill producer, and then he knew that we was ill MC, so he was like, yo, y'all need to collaborate because something dope is going to happen if the two factions mix up. So.
And then that would be how this ended up happening.
Whew.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That
yes,
Master sir. Ace B-side.
Shit.
That's a dope record right Woo. There.
Sykes probably like, what the fuck is this joint?
I don't know. It's the
And Ace is still hot. I mean, that's on the album. Like he's in his moment right then, yeah. Basically when he puts that out.
Yeah,
so man. Were you guys already fully? Did all of that happen simultaneously though? The loud deal, the feature with Ace, like was it all sort of unfolding at the same time?
All unfolding at the same time. And that came out first. So that was our first time ever on wax or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
His album came out first,
that's
Sitting on Chrome.
Yeah. And that was a crazy experience because
what say that again?
Yeah, the Sitting on Chrome came out before anything that we did. So our first time on wax was the Sitting on Chrome. So that gave us a little look.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. Cause I always talk about how the Slaughterhouse album is one of the most slept on albums in hip hop of all time. Like but like I forgot Digger and Norm were the Blues Brothers,
right?
Because Digger was a rapper on the album
on right. Slaughterhouse,
right?
And Sitting on Chrome is weird because Ace was at his biggest then, but for people like Syph and me, I didn't check that hard for Sitting on Chrome. I was into Slaughterhouse, like I wasn't really that.
I don't know why though? I wonder why I didn't. Fuck
because of Born to Roll.
Right, because he did the
best. But I like Born to Roll.
Right.
I at the time I thought Born to Roll was like but I was like, it's not Jeep ass. It's like it was my underground whatever. I just didn't end up checking his heart.
I'm gonna put that album on today.
Yeah, that's worth a listen. But For the Mind was a dope record. It was a B side. What was it the B side of again? Oh, the INC Ride.
Yeah, the ride. Yep. That experience was crazy because we just after we got with Lord Digger, we just was running back and forth. They started inviting us to the studio. And this went on NBA Live and Coach K and all that. We just used to be in there soaking up information and busting ass on Madden and all that, having mad fun. And then Ace just was like, one day he came, he's like, yo, I want y'all to get on this record. We was like, what? Like, what? I was like, yo, what's going on right now? And then from there, it was just mad love from there. Man, shout out to Master Ace.
When something like that happens at that time, by the way, is there any financial conversation when that happens? Or is it just like, jump on, you jumped on, and that's that, you don't worry about it?
Nah, that's what it was. We just hopped on and was like, that's it. Let's just do it. We ain't even worried about that. You know what I mean?
We'll get to that later. We'll make the money later. Let's just get on these records.
That's it. That's
so
it,
when does this guy Nick Wiz pop up?
Yeah. When did
Wiz
you
was
go
there from the beginning?
Wiz popped up with the Lyricist Lounge when they started doing the Lyricist Lounge mixtapes. Remember they were selling the T-shirts and the tapes was attached.
Oh
that,
yeah.
Echo.
Wait, was that
Echo
joint? Yeah, the Echo Unlimited joint. Yeah. Right. And Wiz came to the studio, young.
Wiz, tell us from your perspective, because I'm sure you remember all this.
So check it out. So basically, I was working with Ant and Danny. Well, the manager at the time, my guy Fred Crawford, took me to a Lyricist Lounge show at the Supper Club, and I saw Dwellers perform, and I was like, wow, man, yo, their energy was just insane. So it just so happens that my manager reached out to me and said, listen, Ant and Danny are working on their own project, which they were rapping at the time. And they came down to record. You know, we started working on a few things, and all of a sudden it just switched to, hey, listen, I got this group, and, you know, we need to cut a demo because we have a situation with Loud. And I was sitting there like, I was like, who? He said, Celador. I said, bring him down. No problem. Yeah, man, don't worry about money.
Nick?
Don't worry about money. Don't worry about nothing. You know,
you're from Jersey, right?
Correct.
Where are you from?
Teaneck.
You're from Teaneck. That's where you grew up and everything?
That's where I grew up.
And did you have any credits at that time already, Nick, or no?
You know what? I didn't. I actually did some work that I never got credited for, but it made me the money I needed to get my SP 1200 that I wanted so bad, you know? So,
did you do the Milkbone record?
Yeah, I worked on Milkbone.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do...
Keep
but,
it real.
I didn't do what everybody thought that, you know, because Stretch and Bob kept saying I did the Keep It Real one. I did I didn't do that one. I did, Mufi did that one, you know. So I did a remix for that, you know. But I cut most of his demos that got him the
Where
deal.
Was he from?
He was from Amboy. Amboy,
oh, wow,
Jersey.
That's far. Yeah.
Fun fact, by the way, Milkbone is a semi-regular caller to my afternoon job, the Michael K Show.
Really?
Nice.
And Milkbone. And when he first called, I explained to them who he was, so now every time he calls, we play this. So what was the thing can you tell us what you didn't get credit for that made you the money
to
get
your credit now?
Let's go.
I'm not worried about Juan that. Listen, it was an opportunity. It was the same thing like Dwellers jumping on Ace's record. So for me, it was, I was working with Rich Nice at the time, you know, from the Trackmasters, and we were working on a bunch of beats. He just so happened to place a track with this guy named Mr. Me. And I think he was affiliated with Dougie Fresh or so, G Street Records.
Right.
I go into the studio. They're like, listen, man, we placed the beat. We're going to, you know, you go in, do what you got to do. Rich wasn't there. And what happened was the guys asked me in the room, I guess the artist manager asked, what do you do? Like, what do you do with Rich? And I told him, I said, I made the beat. And they gave me this look, man. Like, it was so... That elephant in the room, man. I'm sitting there looking like
crazy.
But then, you know, I took it as, you know what? This is my opportunity right now to get what I need to get. You know, I knew what I was getting. I knew money-wise. I'm sure he got way more money, but I was happy with what I got. And it just got me to where I needed to get to, you know. And the funny thing is, that was Ken Doro's first mix.
Oh, wow.
That he
wow.
ever did. That was his first record he ever mixed. Crazy. And he reminded me of that when we were in the studio together. He said, yo, man.
Crazy.
You know, you were my first record I mixed.
That's crazy.
So.
Wow.
So well, who's crazy. The artist again?
Some guy named Mr. Me.
Mr. Me? I don't know that.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, dude.
I never heard of that at all.
Yeah.
What did you. So you did that. You got a little bit of change. You used that money to
get my SP 1200, man. SP. And after that, it was off to the
races. Yeah, you.
Sheesh.
Your sound is the quintessential SP12 set. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you're a nerd like us, like, you know what kind of machine was used to make certain beats.
Correct.
And your shit is like the absolute 1200 template, the way you used to do it.
Definitely. Yeah, man.
Like, that sound, your sound defined an era. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. After listening to Pete Rock, Easy Mo B, those are like my two favorite guys, you know? So,
yeah, definitely.
And it was a little disappointing when I got the SP and I popped the disc that it came in. You know, it came with the machine. I'm sitting there like, yo, man, this ain't Pete Rock shit.
No.
Like, what's shit, yo, that hot. I'm like, that hi-hat ain't in here, man. Where's that hi-hat?
No, the hi-hat is, like, the hi-hat is got to tell the people, the OJs.
Dude, I was like, what is this shit, man? Like, this is what I paid $2,000 for?
Oh, so you thought the sounds were in the machine?
That's why I thought it came with the library. Then my buddy was like, yeah, nah, bud, you gotta
first Pete Rock album, I think he used that hi-hat almost every song.
Nah, it might have, because that... And I ain't gonna lie, that hi-hat is universal, bro. Like, even when I was overseas, that hi-hat is used a lot.
I don't understand, like, how we're such... All of us here talking on this Zoom shit, we're fucking nerds talking about a hi-hat.
Very specific hi-hat SP talk.
It's funny, like, yo, you know a hi-hat that was? We're getting all the girls with this episode, guys. I love it.
So we got to jump a little bit. How do we get the Loud deal?
Because Nick is white.
Matter of fact.
Oh, so he just had Rifkin's number.
Nothing to do with that deal, man.
Well, you know what, to be honest.
There is a white story to that, though.
Yeah, Stretch Armstrong, actually. Yeah, Stretch Armstrong actually.
Stretch brought it to Rifkin.
Well, Stretch was holding out.
Yeah.
We did Stretch Armstrong and Barbito like 4 or 5 times, and our name kept growing and growing. And Stretch was A&R-ing or either consulting for Steve, one of the two.
Yeah, right, yes.
This is when all the Throw Stones and the Fondulum records and everybody started doing their own thing. Stretch was getting ready to create Dolo Records.
Right.
So he said, I'm gonna snatch you guys and I'm gonna put you guys on my own label.
Mm.
So then somehow or another, word got back to Steve that Stretch had a group that he was holding on to.
Oh.
So Steve was like, well, I'm still giving you checks every week. So
word. Right. I need that.
What's this little thing you got under your sleeve? Yeah, so then the cat got out the bag and he was like, well, I found these guys called the Cellar Dwellers and da 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 da. So and then once we went up there and we connected, that's how the deal actually happened.
What year is that?
This is
93.
Yeah, 93-ish. So Mob wasn't even there yet.
Mob was there. Mob. When we first got there, it was
Alcoholics.
Mob and the Alcoholics and the Wolf.
Licks.
What about Madcap?
Was Wu there?
No, Wu couldn't have been there.
Oh, Madcap was there too. Who wasn't there yet? Yeah, Wu wasn't there. Yeah, Wu was there yet.
It was there.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, think about it. Wu came out in November 93. So they were there.
Right. Wu was November 93.
He tried to throw us the money. He tried to throw us the money. It was like, well, if it works for Wu-Tang, then you guys could definitely do it too. And we was
That's right. Yeah, come on. You bugging out, man. Cut it out. You just give us $50. It's not going to work. I got it.
So do you guys remember do you remember the first check you got from Loud Records?
Oh man,
I know the first offer was small, but I can't remember what exactly it was.
Yeah, me neither.
Scott Felcher, our lawyer at the time, we kept going back and forth.
Scott Felcher was your lawyer? That was my lawyer for a
while.
He was everybody.
Scott was official, man. Yeah. Scott was official.
That's so funny. Scott did my first deal.
Yeah, get off too.
So was the loud money at the time, was it enough to impact your life and like get you guys to move, you know, get a new apartment or anything like that? Or was it just enough to keep going forward?
It was just enough to make, remember back then they wasn't giving out them big crazy budgets like that unless you was like superstar status. So, and for us, to be honest, we didn't even want the big deal because we started learning that the more money you take, you got to recoup that back end,
you got to pay all that back.
We wanted to cut corners as least as possible. This way, once we do start selling records, now we can start seeing a check.
That's a very smart point.
You gotta remember, you gotta pay that toll to go back and forth to Jersey to Nick's house. That's a lot of money.
You know what was good about that? What was good about that was me and Finn we did
all the legwork. We wasn't taking the limos and all that.
We was MTAing it. Come meet us at the bridge, pick us up from the bridge, and we shoot to the
crib. That's right.
Instead of paying that $125 for that
little experience right there,
give it to us, and then we'll find out.
Don't worry about that.
What were the first records you made with Nick once you guys all got together and started working on this album?
Nick, you remember the first joint?
Well, I think the first one was Hem, right? I think it was Hem. Was the first one.
Yeah, we got it.
Hem was the first one.
That
was first.
Yeah,
it was first because we did a demo version of it. And
then Firehouse Studios,
it was supposed to be good, and then Land of the Lost came, and they were like, "Yeah, man, this isn't it right here, man. You know, it's gotta be better." So, Matt Life Free, they came down with the Dwellers, and we just cooked it up. Hey yo, it's like that. We got a hymn, now you never get the mic back. Hey, that is the way. Like it, you flip like the sharp turn in the sidekick when I kick the cursor.
Sife, what was this like on the underground in New York?
Wow. Here's the funny story. Flex used to bang that record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. That was a big underground DJ Riz, Stretch, Mayhem, all those dudes. But Flex, I remember Flex used to bang that because we always used to get happy when Flex would pick a couple of what we call backpack underground college records and burn them on Hot 97.
Right.
So that was one of them where he used to cut, because he used to love to cut that beginning.
Yo, but Flex was into you guys, period, right?
Whoa. Yeah, he showed us some love. He showed us a lot of love. I ain't gonna lie.
One thing I love about Flex, and this is one thing, it's kind of things for me. You didn't have to see. Hold on. Let me get over here because my shit is unstable.
Go.
Let me get.
Yeah, go sit on the router.
Yeah, I'm gonna put the routers in my pocket now.
Can you plug the Ethernet in?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I'm
up now. Flex. We didn't have to see Flex for him to say what's up to us. You know, and to put it in terms, when Flex saw us and we didn't see him, he would grab us and be like, "Dwellers, what's up?" You know what I mean? Yeah. Some people you got to see and be like, "Oh."
Right.
It wasn't like that with Flex. And him, I remember I heard him, he burnt that record on Hana, and when he played that record, I was like, yeah, that's it. I'm saying, so salute to Flex, man, because he showed us super duper love.
People used to ask, like, "Oh, is Flex just playing these because he had a loud record deal also?" And I'm like, no, he likes.
Yeah, he likes
the thing that. About Flex, he likes hip hop, like, or loves it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he has to do all the commercial shit being on the radio, but Flex, you know Flex used to do NYU as under a secret name so he could just play underground records sometimes.
Wow, never knew that.
No, really? I don't think I knew that.
It was the worst. It was like,
are you serious?
Every once in a while on Mayhem or Stretch, there'd be a DJ. I think his name was a horrible name, like Underground Ripper or something like that. We should ask him about it.
Yeah.
And he would do that just so that he could play underground records because he loved it so much.
And
Underground Bandit. That was it. Underground
Bandit. Bandit.
Underground Bandit, which is a hard, which is Flex has never been known for making
Underground Ripper.
Flex never been known for making up good names.
Speaking of DJs, I want to shout out Camelo and DJ Enough showed us a lot of love.
Yeah.
And shout out to Big Cap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Cap loved y'all.
Yeah, definitely.
But you guys also had a record. You did a remix Was it a good Dwellers remix where you like made it all about DJs? You shouted out DJs for like a whole record. Am I wrong about that?
It was part
you told
two,
the whole
I
story?
No, nah, I think that was just a promotional joint. Nah, yeah, I think but, that was just like a promotional record, like where we was just shouting DJs out. I don't think we did an actual kit like that.
Oh, it was just a record Flex played? It wasn't. It was one that you guys did, right, like a dub?
Right, nah.
I don't even know if that was us.
No, wait, it was you.
To be honest, nah. I remember, fan, that record that we did with Flex. Was that the record when we went to the studio and did that? When we left the tunnel to go record that record with Flex? Remember?
Yeah, I remember. I remember doing that.
Was that?
Is it this? Hold, let me see. Let me see if it's this.
Let me see if it's that one.
What's the plan? I stay dapper like Dan, decked out in Helly
Hansen. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
With the ranching, now I ride on horses, hens and her horses. Once a month I fly back out to meet with crime bosses. Still gun trafficking and pushing keys. The tall man's international, now I'm overseas. Setting up shots, no more nickel and dime. Jerk chicken spots, now we graduated to the yachts. In private helicopters, in private doctors. I'll erase ya, cause St. Ives chase my vodka. Niggas.
This is Good Dwellers Part 2.
Yeah, Part 2.
Were you really renting jet skis in Hawaii? That's the question I really want to get to. The
We was riding jet skis in Florida. Pardon me. I never said Florida. It didn't rhyme right, so I just had to twist where we was at. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was Miami.
We was riding jet skis.
Yo, did you guys get tossed into, because of your name, did lazy people end up thinking you guys were like horrorcore because you came out at the same time as Flatliners and Gravediggers and you were called Cellar Dwellers? Definitely. That happened?
Definitely, it kind of got thrown there. To be honest with you, though, we kind of was ahead of them with the style that we had. We was the first ones doing that, and then, you know, Flatliners and everybody else got a little wind of it and tried to turn it into something different, but...
Yeah, but you guys weren't ever doing anything horror.
Right,
you guys did storytelling.
Right.
It wasn't horrorcore. We were into sorcery and wizardry and Dungeons and Dragons. They was more skulls and bones and satanic. So it's two different worlds. Just grouped it together.
Right.
Don't you hate when your nerd Dungeon and Dragon references get mixed up with fucking horror?
Sure do, yo. Come on, baby. Come on. Get it right, man. If you don't get it right, get it right at all. You don't do it.
Yo, so Nick, how many did you end up doing on the album? Is it like the whole thing?
9 songs. I wound up doing 9. It really originally was supposed to be 3. And I'm gonna let the Dwellers take it from there.
Yeah, then we started. I mean, that's self-explanatory. We kept going back and he kept blessing us with joints. And we like, we want that one too.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. Wiz knocked a lot of producers, knocked a lot of songs off the album. We had records like, nah, we going to Wiz. And every time we would go to record a record that we did, he would play something else. He'd be like,
okay,
let's scratch that off.
It's something about when you find that right flow and that right energy, and then and then it creates the sound. You know what I mean? Like, that became the Cellar Dweller sound. So why would you go anywhere else?
Right.
There you go.
Right.
And not to mention back then, them producers are trying to charge you like 20 G's a watt, 25 a watt. So we was like, nah, we ain't trying to chew up our budget like that.
Saif, let's talk about, we mentioned nerdiness. Let's talk about the fact that you guys started the album with a complete detailed homage to the game Monopoly.
Advance to Boardwalk, man. We love
Advance
it.
We play it
for real. We don't be playing. We don't just say it to say it. We play it.
Y'all really? You guys just hold on. So that was more than just for fun. You guys were really about this Monopoly life.
Yeah, we play Monopoly a lot.
Yeah, man. Listen, look, man. I'm still. Look what that say. You see that? See what that say right there?
Dungeons and Dragons.
See,
and Dungeons and Dragons starter set.
Come on, baby. This wasn't the same. No, this was for real. That damn Nick Wiz, boy. Collect the properties of profit, expand and make. Yo,
slot pass, go. Check the drama. And the saga starts to unfold, to advance. Now, do you guys think, is it commonplace for people who fuck with the Dwellers to have a lot of songs you love, but think that this was number one? This one right here.
Yo.
Sipe, you know how I feel about that Soul in the Hole soundtrack.
Yeah, this is me right here.
That damn Nick Wiz, man.
Yeah, Nick, you a genius for this one, my guy.
Yeah, he ripped that.
Taking flicks with chicks, spending G's on wears and kicks. While these hip hop ticks stay on my dick, MCs is all air like bags from Bonton.
Crazy.
They souped up just like wonton. All I got is hard times, the illest rhymes, a couple of dimes, and the bus T9 that ain't even mine. $1,000 links on, gotta get my drink on.
My favorite bar is coming up. Here we go.
Still get nice and shoot dice. Still eat pork by rice. Still shoot threes like Mark Price. Second time around, still getting down for my grand.
And UG comes in crazy. Was that, so did you guys make that for? Did they say like, hey, we want to put a song on a soundtrack? Or was that something you just had in the stash?
We had, did we have that in the stash, Wiz?
Nah, we were working on the second album.
Yeah.
We were working on the second album.
And they was like, they needed a song for the soundtrack. He was like, oh, we got something.
I can hear the difference in your production on that song because you had already got some radio play and some success, and I can see you like extra swagging it up. Like you can hear the difference in just listening to the first album.
Yeah,
it's like a little faster, a little faster swing.
The day of that session for that song, my uncle came down. He has this thing of, well, I found some records on the side of the road. Somebody was getting rid of them. So he brought that down. I dropped the needle, and that started playing. Those strings
Wow.
And we just made that's it right crazy. There, man.
Wait, do you think your uncle really found him on the side of the road, or was he collecting some kind of debt from an Italian restaurant somewhere? Like, hey, you guys fucking owe us some money.
You know what? We'll take these records from my nephew.
Yeah.
My nephew's working with some Mouyans from Brooklyn.
We need these right here. You know what I mean?
That was crazy, man. That's
yo, did you live in Teaneck all that time?
Yeah.
Did you ever see Biggie around Teaneck?
I didn't see him, man. He was not too far from me. He was like 5 minutes away, but I didn't even know they moved out there. So, you know. I was in my basement and just doing what I do. You know, I was one of those guys. I don't even know what the tunnel's like. Never been there. How about that?
You didn't go to the tunnel?
Oh, wow. You were really a real just studio rat, huh?
Yeah, I was definitely. Just sitting in there working and working. Everybody's like, the tunnel. What's that?
The tunnel has this, the tunnel, you know, when it really popped off, it has this. Man. Like the DMX video, Get At Me Dog, is like what people reference the tunnel because it was such a great depiction of what the tunnel was. But before that, before it turned into strictly Bad Boy and Jay-Z land, when I first went to the tunnel, it was Cellar Dwellers, Sadat X, Buckshot. Mm-hmm. You know, like all those dudes were hanging out there. It was like I was living a fucking dream life of seeing all my favorite rappers in those early days.
All crazy. I remember was the first 500 women free.
First 500 ladies free.
500 free.
500 ladies free. Yo, I had to be at the tunnel at 8:30 to play R&B for those girls for 3 hours before the night started.
Yo, that's amazing.
Yeah, the tunnel was special, man. When I first fan, I ain't gonna front the first time we was able just to walk through those velvet ropes without having to get on the line. I said, we're in now. That's it. We money.
So what was some shows y'all did back in those days that were memorable? Like who did you rock with?
Yeah, shows, maybe some shows that you did, and then also what tour, like what promo tours and stuff did you go on too? Because I'm sure Sipe and I are always intrigued by how people, you know, underground legends at that time were rubbing elbows with all the guys who went on to become the biggest stars in the game. So,
yeah.
Remember, anytime the mob went out, we was the undercard. Anytime Ray Ghost went out, we was the undercard. Wow. And then we did a lot of shows with the Alcoholics and Exhibit on the West Coast. We was a part of a lot of legendary shit that went on.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. That tour life was different. It should just being with people that you admire and you see, it's like, yo, you like, like, you know what I'm saying? I had in my hotel room, I had to look at myself in the mirror sometimes to be like, all right, get it together. I know you like them. I know you're a fan, but we got to go out here and get busy. You know what I mean? So tour life was just when we was in France for like 2 weeks. And the love was just so mind blowing. I was like, yo, yeah, man. That shit was so crazy. Remember that, Fanny? We did that first big show and that first big joint. And I was like, what the? And them knowing word for words just blew my mind.
Remember the spooky one when Marv and Nori and them did the LA. Marv had to go back out to Cali to do some shows, and we was there, and some gang members tried to pull them off the stage, and if it wasn't for Ice-T, things would have got real spooky in there.
Whoa!
Well, what do you mean? What did Ice-T do to rectify the situation?
He brought law and order. He brought law and order to the situation. Yeah.
Shout out to Smooth the Triggers. You know, Smooth the Hustler was real cool with Ice-T.
Smooth the Hustler and Trigger, the Gambler, knew Ice-T?
Yeah, they was cool with him. And then
He managed them. He was managing them at that time.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He did. So he managed them.
You know, we was all on the same car. We was all. So then he was like, yo, the mom was with us. Y'all chill out and da-da-da-da-da. And he kind of smoothed things over. But I seen him throwing it up. And I was like, what's up with that LA now, fool?
Yeah, it got crazy.
Yeah, hectic, yeah. And remember we had to run to the back? To the back room?
Pool sticks and all that?
It was about to get funky.
Yo. How big was that show? 500 people.
About 400 or 500. But
I know I seen about
30
of them boys though.
Yeah, I saw more than that.
People don't give LA enough credit for their underground love of hip hop.
They show culture. Super love.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a dope underground scene, or at least back then there was a dope.
Yeah. Oh no, scene. Yeah, I think it's still there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we only hear about all the street shit, you know.
Right.
And But you could do shows out there and be like have like hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys ever have any run-ins with Big or Hov in the mid 90s?
Yeah, definitely.
Hov used to go. Hov used to go. My sister.
Well, say that again. Wait. Say that again.
Your internet is ruining the story.
Your internet ruined the story. Say that again.
Said, yo, Hov used to go with my sister.
Hilarious.
Yo, that is
Jay used
comedy.
To go with my sister. Crazy. Because we lived on the other side. My grandmother lived in the same building as he did on the first floor. He lived on the sixth floor. Bleak lived on the second floor. And he used to go with my sister back before he was, you know what I mean? Hawaiian Sophie days.
And did you like him? Like, was he a cool? He was just a cool dude.
Cool, yeah. He was. He that's the same demeanor he got now. He had that back then. I mean, and then yeah. So this story.
And did you ever, at any point during that era, did you have a feeling that there was more to it, or did he just seem like he was on a regular? You know, he was a nice little rapper. That's it.
He had the hustler swag. And he had to, you could tell his swag was cocky. How he is now, you could tell he was going to be something. He just wasn't going to be nothing basic. You know what I'm saying? The way he carried himself, he carried himself like he is now. So
yeah,
it was strange. And then seeing him, one time we had a show in, I think we were in Atlanta. It was us, Total, Ray and Ghost, Exhibit, all of us was out there.
Mm.
The Brat. We all was out there, and I saw him out there in the crowd, like, and somebody got me. I had the most dopest pictures of all my favorite artists. Somebody allowed stole my camera with my film on it. I had a picture with Jay. I had a picture. Somebody yanked me for that. I'm still upset. Oh, I'm still looking for them now.
It's so ill how, like, pictures back then, like, there's only but so many. It's not like nowadays where you got 1,000 pictures on your phone. Those were really... Like, who had the camera back then? Yeah.
Who had the camera?
That's and then crazy, who went to develop it?
Yeah. So, somebody took that out the van, though. Like, we, after the show, like, they, you know, we twisted because, matter of fact, the night after I took some pictures, it was me, Fan, Ray, and Ghost in a bar out there. And Ray and Ghost just kept sending me and Fan drinks all night long. Remember that, Fanny?
Mm-hmm.
And we were so, they was laughing at us because we were so twisted. They was like, give him another drink. Give him another drink.
That's when we first found out about the corporate card that the labels had.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah.
It was like, let them get the drinks. Y'all don't pay for it. Let them buy the drinks.
Yeah, that Dan Tanner. They used to call Dan Tanner Plastic Man because he had the corporate card. Well, get Plastic Man in the back.
Yo, who broke up with who? Did your sister break up with Sean, or did Sean break up with your sister?
I don't know how that went, man. That's their business, man. I just know at the time I knew.
Call her.
I'm gonna call her.
Call her right now. Ask.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me call her. Right,
send her a text.
Send her a text.
We want to know who broke up with who.
I'm gonna call her right now. Yeah, man.
Yeah, but we did.
So
I can't. What is she? I can't. I wonder what she's like at work. Like, you know, I used to go out with JC.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Let me tell you something right now.
My sister, I don't know. She.
Everyone would know.
Woman, man.
Everyone who knows me would know.
Shout out to Maria Davis too. She used to do the joint on Wednesday. That's when we did a lot of shows with Jake.
Oh, yeah. And so is that, you said, Fan, you were just saying you guys did a lot of shows with Hov on it.
Yeah, Supper Club, a couple of venues we did with Hov. And he used to always do the 22 freestyle.
And what about what about Big and Junior Mafia? Anything with those? Do you ever see those guys around or no?
We didn't have too many interactions with them, but definitely seen them around. And they was going to Special Ed Studios when he started doing Junior Mafia. He was recording songs over at Ed Studio, Dollar Cab Labs. So I've seen him a couple of times around the way.
And how did things end up like dissolving with Loud? Why did it never really... you guys didn't get to a second album on Loud, right? You ended up being indie when it was all said and done by the time that would have happened, right?
Yeah, well, here's my take on it. Loud got super duper corporate and crowded when they left from
RCA.
RCA to the other building, Sony. That's when all the other groups came, and then we kind of got lost in the shuffle. And then me and UG was thinking about moving over to Ruckus, which was gonna be like a better fit for us, for, you know, the whole Mos Def, that whole underground stuff, it would have been a better fit.
Yeah, Lyricist Lounge vibe.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Then Steve came up with the brilliant idea of, I'm gonna give Dante Ross a label, Stimulated Records, and that's gonna be more of a underground dedicated label. So you guys will be the Wu-Tang of that label. And he kind of sold us on that. And we'll slide over there and do that. And then
Stimulated just never turned out to be that big a thing.
Right. Dante Ross is running around with Everlast.
Yeah,
Stimulated.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Dante popped off with Whitey Ford.
And then they was all over LA and doing this and this. He was never at the label, and it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, Dante came up there twisted. You know, he's after running around Whitey Ford, he come up there, beard not cut. Or Kanye after he ain't care. Yeah, he ain't care after that.
This whole game is timing, bro. And like, the intention was good, but like, he caught so much success with that Whitey Ford shit.
You can't chase your paper, you know what I mean?
And then you guys ended up in a weird spot too, because Steve's allegiances, you know, even though shit got weird, they continued to sort of hang on to the Alcoholics and Tash, and they pushed them forward still. Right. And Mob was out of here. Mm-hmm. And you guys kind of fell in that middle ground of, you weren't there from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You weren't like, he didn't have that commitment like you were first.
Right.
And you also weren't the biggest.
Right.
So you fell in this middle ground of like just a dope group.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of things like that. Yeah, there's a lot of because there's sometimes that you hear that story and then for some weird reason you catch this one hit and then everything could turn around. But you have to be able to get that. You know what I mean? You have to be, and then there's so many stories like you guys where it's like, yeah, but if we get in the studio two more times, we'll get that.
We'll get it, exactly.
But like, oh, it's too late. The time ran out. The RCA deal's over. We're moving, like, you know, because we talked to Dead Prez And they were talking about how they left. They left too when you guys left, but then they caught a little lick with Hove, and Sony brought them back in. You know,
They should have been a lot bigger than what they were, man. They definitely should have been a lot bigger than what they were.
I just thought up there loud, there was a lot more fans than workers up there.
Oh yeah.
Like you had workers in positions that like the certain artists a little more, so they put more effort into that. Yeah. So it was a lot of fans instead of somebody up there coming to do their job. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I saw a lot of that.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Hey, and Nick, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. I don't really know who this cat was particularly, but Cypher.
Yeah.
Wait for it. This right here, though.
For my peoples in Jersey, for my peoples in the NY, for my people down south, for my people across the border. Check it out. When it's showtime, I'm opening lines and freeze a mind like it on the DL.
The very rare underground and Ill Mentality, Loving You for Days, Nick Wiz mix. The rare underground chick record banger. Like, it's such a weird. And I know that's another record Flex loved, and I love that record. What label was that again, Nick?
You know what? That's a good question, man. Fat Wax.
Fat Wax.
And
Fat Chuck Wax
was a part of that. So, that was sad, man, because that was my record that was really going to do something because they had it so set up, and this guy went bananas.
Wait. Hold on. Are you telling us that an artist whose name was Ill Mentality ended up
went bananas?
Dude, man. What happened?
I should have known from the name, but listen, mind you, he's a cool dude, but when it came to how they were working the record and everybody was playing it, the shows, they had so many shows lined up and the record was doing well, so he's like, I'm not going out there to perform. I'm like,
that's Ill Mind. Mentality.
That's an Ill Mentality.
I'm like, dude, all these people are playing this record. You have people out there packed place to come see you perform a record that, honestly, I mean, I just thought I was just doing another, lovey-dovey hard record, but it turned out to be something else, man. Chuck Chill Out was working. Yeah,
people
loved it. And he just.
So in the end, he just didn't feel like doing that much with it, and it faded away, and that was that.
It was a little further than that, but we're just going to say he didn't want to perform and promote the record, because then it turned into stuff between me and him, and, it was weird.
Yo, the dwellers were probably sitting around like, yo, we would have taken this shit, Nick.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Man, listen.
Yo, Nick, I feel your pain, because I had an artist named Cuckoo Cow. From Milwaukee.
I remember him.
Cuckoo Cow had that song in my projects, and I'm telling you, it was going everywhere. And he's like, I ain't going out there. I'm like, no. You got to go. We got to go on a promo run. No, I ain't going.
Yo, I volunteered, man. I'm like, listen, I'll be your hype man. Just let's go. I'll get on the stage with you on the mic. Nothing. I mean, he caught a mean stage fright. I mean, it was just.
It happens, bro. It happens. Like, sometimes those people, they don't know. We didn't know back then what a writer was. You know, you could technically just be a writer and make records for other people.
Yeah.
It's weird in hip-hop because it's look at, like, ghostwriting. You're not writing your own shit, but every other genre of music has different writers and producers. You know what I mean? But hip-hop is, it's looked down upon for some reason, even though it's still done, but it's, like, on the low. It's like dirty money.
I think
they're
starting to get
more
used to it now, than what it was back then. It was like,
it's bigger now.
Stuff, man? Come on, man.
Yeah, it's bigger now, but.
Guys, is there anything? Oh, go ahead, Ugg.
Yeah, it's crazy that you say that because I was watching Flex and Gilly the Kid from Philly about
I
that.
I saw that. They were with Drake. About the Drake shit, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he, you know, Drake's one of the illest, you know, illest to do it, but the fact that at his own, he got to get an asterisk.
Yeah, that reference, like,
especially
track
with the hits. Yeah. So that's crazy that you brought that up.
Is there anything else, guys, like related to your story that you feel like you really want to share or want to have out there that we may have missed on in telling the story?
Probably.
Nah, man. Like, just like everything. Like the tour life was dope. With the main aim joint, me and Fan just came back. We was in Bogota, Colombia before all this pandemic hit. Did a show out there, man. And it's just that record. When you play that record, man, that main aim, that stand up, leakage, advance the ball walk, hem, land of the loss, everything comes down. Everything, lights, they slam dance, it's everything.
Have you guys always been able to do Europe and Japan and places like that over all these years because of the records?
Yeah, just because the records for sure, but it's the shows,
the show
we throw them shows together.
Yo, I've never seen you guys. You know, I've never been to a Dwellers show. I've never seen you guys rock.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, I've never seen one either. I don't think I've ever seen you perform. What?
Give me an email and I'll send you some shows.
I would love that.
Like, I'll send you some joints. So to show me and Fan demolishing situations with those
Chili
records.
Was crazy, man.
To this day, with those
Chili
records.
Was crazy. Well,
Chili was crazy. Wiz was with us out in Chili. That was another funny story. I'll just get to do it real quick. We out in Chili, and we go into the venue, and the first venue that we went to, now the show was sold out. The first venue that we were supposed to go to didn't have a liquor license. So on the day of the show, they shut that club down. We couldn't even go to that club no more. So the promoter had to get a whole nother club, rent these big buses with our faces on the side, pick the fans up from the other venue and bring them to a new venue. Crazy. Now, it was only one way in. The other venue had the back way in. It's only one way in. We pull up to this venue, right? And it's pandemonium outside. They jumping on the car. They pushing the car.
What?
The dude opens the door and says, first of all, on the way there, he says, I'm going to tell you now, take your hats off, take your chains off, take your earrings out your ears. Not to say y'all suckers, but I'm telling you,
they're going to take all your shit?
Everything. So, please.
Right?
Wait, they're going to take it like robbing you or because they just want a piece of you?
Fan-wise. Yo.
Tuck it in, put it in your pocket, whatever, your money, secure everything.
Wow.
So, pull up to the spot. It's pandemonium out there. He's like, on some A-team, like, okay, when I open this chopper door, we got to jump out and go.
Wow.
We run out. Yo, we tried to run through. Man, they grabbed rag, almost had him on the floor. Wings, everybody. We running behind the security. Niggas is jumping on top of us. Crazy. We had to fight to get to the back. When we get through the club and get to the back, they trying to break down where we at. Now, that, mind you, they had some rush hour Chinese doors that just closed like that. They trying to kick the joints down to get back there. We come out. We do land at a loss. It got so crazy, slam dancing. The power shut down. They were screaming all so crazy. The power shut off. Niggas, they throwing all kinds of shit going crazy. They had to reboot everything. And then from there, it was nuts, man. So I'm going to send y'all some of them shows, man. Crazy.
Yo,
you're the only
insane
ones performing.
That's only it. Ones.
Yo, bro, they had to walk through the crowd, too, to get to the stage. Now, mind you, when they're walking into the club, I'm do-rag, go back, I'm like, ooh. They don't know who I am.
What?
I'm walking with a briefcase. Yeah. I'm like, I'm strolling in. I'm like, oh, shit. Yo, and they hook, at the stage, they're hooking off on people, too, punching people. Boom. I'm like,
yeah. What? Yeah, security. Security's knocking these out.
That thing,
yeah,
too.
It was crazy.
Safe. Wait, Sy, you've heard what it's like to go to a Dweller's show in Chile before.
Yo,
hey guys,
so crazy. Okay, go ahead.
I'll send y'all. No. Go. All right, send it to us. Yeah. Guys, thank you, man. This was really fun. We just wanted to have you guys on to celebrate 25 years of Rums in Reality and say we appreciate you, man. I was such a huge fan as a kid all the way through college radio. Still play you guys to this day, so we just wanted to have you on and show you all love.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Appreciate the love, man. Love y'all, man. Love y'all, for real. Stay safe.
All right,
Don't get gas. Got it.
One love,
yo, peace out, guys. Reach out anytime.
All right,
no doubt. Be safe. All right, peace.
All right. There they are, the Dwellers and Nick Wiz here on Juan Ep is
Dead. Wait. What'd your sister say?
She didn't text me back yet. She at work, man. She ain't text me back. But yo, I'll Photoshop the joint and send it to your email.
Send it to us because we want to put it on the episode.
All right. Our audience will want to know. All right. Peace, guys.
All right, man.
All right, later.
All
right,
peace.
Yo, big shout out to the Dwellers, and thank you. Yo, Syf, that, by the way, a couple of gems. First of all, I don't know that you've ever, it's been a long time, if ever, that you mentioned Flex DJing under a pseudonym.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
A pseudonym, if you will. Pseudonym. And also, yo, him saying Jay used to go with my sister.
I told you. Listen, me and Rosenberg were talking earlier this week, and we're like, these are some of our favorite groups that never get any light shined on them from all these different podcasts out nowadays. This is what we loved, man. This is what we talk about. This is Juan Ep. And I'm like, they always give us a gem. You know what I'm saying? Even
always.
They're not the biggest names, you know, like, you know, the Cameron Drink Champs came out and it, you know, broke the internet as the biggest interview that they ever wanted on Drink Champs, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yo, our people love the Juan Ep gems. And when he goes, my sister used to go with him.
Yo, casually, that was it.
Casually.
No, that's my sister casually. That was it. That was it. Guys, we'll be back next week. We appreciate you all very, very much. Billy June, go fuck yourself.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.